today's daf is Samech He, and we got to the bottom of Samech Dalam Amar Beis. The Gemara was telling us there were a few different applications of the Machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel. Rebbe held that after two occasions it creates a chazakah, and Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel held it was after three. So the Gemara is going through all different cases. So we're three lines from the bottom of Samech Dalam Amar Beis. Last word is Nisuin. So one of the things that we mentioned was Machlokas was Nisuin. We hold like Rebbe when it comes to Nisuin that after two times, Had Amram, that was referring to the case of if the a woman had married a man and she had died, he had died, and she had married another man and he had died also, she already has established a chazakah of killing her husband, if you will. So that was where we passed like Rebbe. The second situation where we passed like Rebbe is Malkios. Two lines from the bottom now. Malkios, the Tznan. The Mishnah tells us, I assume this is in Makos. No, it's actually Sanhedrin. Mishaloka Vishana, based in Kontanos al-Kipa. So a person who receives Malkos, and then yet a second time he does the Avera, which Avera is talking about. Let's see.
Avera Shechemei Karis.
Okay, so any of the Chiv Karis that he gets Malkos for, and if he does this yet a second time and he receives Malkos, by the third time already, based in his Kontanos al-Kipa, they place him into some type of a cell, and they machil masal sa'arim, they basically starve him for a few days, and then when he's hungry, they give him some dry barley and expand achate kriso nivkas until his stomach blows up. So that's ready only after two times. The Chazal felt after two times he already established himself as a chazaka to violate this avera. And another case is Vestos. That when it comes to Vestos, we pass like Rabban Shimon Gamliel that only after three times where a woman sees Nida on a particular day, only after three times does it establish a Vestos. The Tznan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nida, in Isha Kovas La Vestos, a woman does not establish herself a Vestos a set time to see her Nida. Ad shetikva'ena shalosh pamim. She needs to see it three times. Ve'ein mitares min havesas ad shetakamena shalosh pamim. And she does not uproot her vesas. That says she's used to seeing on chaf of the month, the 20th of the month. So she's not going to uproot that 20th of the month until she starts seeing on a different day three times in a row. Let's say it's not until Yud Gimel, she sees three times in a row of Yud Gimel. Then it's okay, it uproots the vesas of chaf of the month. Okay, that's after three times. And another time we pass like Rabban Shimon Gamliel is with respect to Shor HaMuad, the ox that has established itself, that it has its rugil to gore. So Shor HaMuad, the Mishnah tells us in, I assume this is Baba Kama, it's not established, does not create itself a shame Muad until it gores three separate times. Right, so that's the basic summary of Chazakos 2 verses 3, Rebbe versus Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. We're now quotes of Bryce that relate to what we spoke about yesterday, that Tana Rabbanon Nisas L'Rishon V'lo Hayu L'Banim. So let's say a woman gets married to a man, her first husband, and they're not able to have children. So they get divorced, and L'Sheni, and she gets married to a second husband now. V'lo Hayu L'Banim, and still they can't have children from the second marriage. L'Shlishi Lo Tinase Ela L'Mishi Yesh L'Banim. She's not allowed to get married to a third man, only a man who already has children, who already has fulfilled the mitzvah of Peruvu. But had he not fulfilled the mitzvah of Peruvu, she's not allowed to marry him, because after two times, she has already created a chazakah for herself that she's not capable of having children. Nisei Shlemisha Ein Labanim. Let's say she gets married anyways to a third husband who does not have children yet. Is she allowed to say married to him or not? The halacha is Tete Belo Ksuva. She leaves without the Ksuva because she shouldn't have got married in the first place because she can't have children and she cannot assist him in his mitzvah of Peruvu. Okay. Now, Tosos points out here, he thinks it's only true if she waits the 10 years of the third husband. After 10 years of not having children, then we force her to go out. But right away, if she marries him, we don't force her to get divorced right away. We allow her, once she's married, to wait out to 10 years. So asks the Gemara now, Ibailu. Nisei Shlishi.
This is the third one that he waits 10 years? Or
For the third one. Tosos writes the third one. Even though she's not supposed to get married, if she does get married, right, we allow her to stay married for 10 years. So, okay. So then, the Gemara asks Ibarithu, Nisei Shlishi, Vlo Haya La Banim. So let's say she gets married to a third, and she does not have children. She gets married anyways, and she's not supposed to, and she can't have children from the third party. So Mahu de Litvau Hanoch Kamai, could the first husband claimed back from her, wait a second, it clearly there's a problem with you it was a mekach talis when we married you, and when we divorced you, we should not have paid you the ksuva. I think that's the question here. We should not pay the ksuva because clearly it's an issue that you had. So again, the Gemara writes, "Mal du litvu b'hanich kamai." Could the first husband's claim, "Mimatz amrile," could they say to her, "Igloy milsa"? It becomes quite apparent, "De at hu degarmas." It was you. You had the issue the whole time. So why is it fair that we had married you and we divorced you and we had to pay you the ksuva? It was clearly an issue that you had. Right, betalim and betalos. So therefore, we should get the money ksuva back that we had paid you. Oh, Dilma Matz Amrla or Lahu, she could say back to these first husbands, Hashtahu de Kachash, no, I'm weak now. I'm weak. My first marriage with you and the second marriage with you, I was strong and it was your issue. Now it's been 30 years, I've gotten weaker. I don't have the ability to have children anymore, but I used to have the ability to. So that's the Shiloh that was asked in the Gemara. It says, Mistavra, it's quite logical to explain, Matz Amrla Lahu, she could say to them, Hashtahu de Kachash. They like that. That logic, that claim, that right now, that's basically the cloud they're saying?
No, I'm saying, uh-huh. Say here, but I'm saying that would make sense.
So why wouldn't the Gemara say, Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya?
I don't know, but it's...
In essence, that would seem to be that would seem to make sense, but why doesn't the Gemara say that, though?
Right. Maybe somebody says it.
No, I'm not sure. There are some long tosos in here. So maybe somewhere in the middle of the tosos when it talks about it.
Here it says, "Achulai dai ba kedei leatir da leachzik bekesef shekvar nimtza beyada."
Say it again, Tyre.
Here it says, "Achulai dai." It says it's explained that if she says that she became weak, "Achulai dai ba kedei leatir da leachzik bekesef shekvar nimtza beyada." So in a way, that's what it's saying.
Uh-huh.
"Amotzi mechavera," because it's in her hand already.
Okay, so maybe that's what's the underlying idea here. Okay. So now the Gemara asks a different question. Ibarilu, Nisesh Lurvi. Now she goes so far to marry a fourth husband. And Hayalabanim. And from this fourth husband, finally, after 30-something years, she has a children. So Malvit Titvai Lishlishi. So remember, the first two husbands she got ksuba from. The third husband, she wasn't allowed to get married. She got divorced with the out of ksuba. Could she go back to the third party, the third husband, and say, Amrina La, and claim back from the Shlishi. So Amrila, we say to her, Shtikusecha yafe midiburecha. Your quietness is, your silence is greater than your speech. Why? Dimatzi amrala anad adaita dahachi lo garshticha. In this case, we say, stay quiet. Why? Because if she says, listen, I'm able to have children, the third husband's going to say, or maybe the other husbands are going to say, wait a second, we only divorced you because you weren't able to have children. Now we see you are able to have children. Our divorce was never effective. And in essence, she was never permitted to marry any of the later husbands.
Really? Is that really?
The only reason why he divorced her because he wanted to be kind of Mitzvah Peruvo. Yeah, but if the divorce was based on a certain premise. Let's see, Rashi explains. Rashi says, I didn't have the stas. Ila ha'isi yodea shat bas banim, had known you were able to have children, lo garashich, I never would have divorced you. Nimtza get batel mafreya. And then turns out she's married to these, not really married to the other husband, and having children from them would create mamzerim. So in this case, we say, stay quiet, just, don't take the money, just move on with life. That's in essence what the Gemara is saying.
If she lives in the same town, they're going to find out that she had kids. It doesn't make a difference.
Right, but only once she starts making tainas, just stay quiet. The situation.
He has no interest in making life difficult for her unless she makes life difficult for him.
No, but we are concerned. I think the concern of the Gemara is that she's actually having Bia with.
That's only if he retracts. If he says,
Yeah, but let's say he goes and he sees her with kids. He still is sorry that he divorced her.
Depends.
Only if
you
say.
Right. Unless she goes to a bezin and says,
is this in general also a matter of Giloy Arayos?
The issue here?
Yeah.
This issue is an issue of Giloy Arayos, but the taina of Mamonos will turn into an issue of Giloy Arayos.
All right.
Sometimes we do, what do they say? look the other way sometimes when we know, don't say anything. Sometimes, it happens lamaisa. Sometimes something inappropriate is going wrong with the wife, and people know what's going on, but it's not yet due, and there's no edim. So even though anyone with a small brain knows what's going on, the wife is going to the neighbor, let's say, sometimes we say, just don't say anything, don't speak about it, and just leave it as is. Sometimes you have to do that. So that's what the intestine is saying here. They say, just stay quiet because you're going to cause much more issues by bringing up the problem. So Gemara says, okay, so Maskev lo Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, wait a second. Yushaski, okay, so she should be quiet. Fine. Anon Mishaskinon, we as Bezdin, are we expected to be quiet here? So Rashi explains, Maskev lo Rav Papa. Vi matza baila lebetula geta bahachi kishasuk. Now, if the Baal is able to cancel out the get with this, kishasuk may have it. When she's quiet, what good is that? Anon Mishaskinon, are we going to stay quiet where we say it's going on? So in essence, we're saying, like, we say, tell her to be quiet. You know, personally, just stay quiet, stay out of this. But how could Basin be quiet when they see what's going on here? They see this guy has children now. She's able to have children. And we see that wasn't a good, that the emes is that there was never a good get in the first place. How are we able to stay quiet? Right. So they didn't really like that claim. Rav Papa didn't like this understanding of the question. So then the Gemara therefore says, Rav Papa. So how can we stay quiet? What's going to turn out is that the get's going to be batal, and the children from the later marriages are going to be mamzer, or the children from the last marriage are going to be a mamzer. Ela amirin hashtahu debriyasa. So we have to assume right now that Musi right now somehow she became healed. Healed now suddenly she was given the ability to have children. The previous marriages were not able to. So even if he says, adaita dehachi lo agashticha, it wasn't true because at those times she wasn't able to physically. It's only now that she's able to. And therefore, we say you're not able to claim back from the previous husband. You see, it wasn't my issue paying back the money. No, it was your issue. It was only now that Kadosh Baruch Hu had given you the zechus and ability to have children. Okay. So Gemara says now,
the maskana is there is no difference because the other one she could ask, but she doesn't because she was scared that they're going to change her mind. And here we say that she doesn't, that now she was able to have kids. But Lealacha is no different.
Lealacha, there's no difference. Exactly. We're just explaining the reason for it.
We're explaining the reason why we don't tell the previous husbands to pay the ksuba.
Right.
Okay. The third one.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, Hu amar mina vihi amar mine. So let's say there's a debate between the husband and wife. Who is the one who has the issue? Who is the one that is not able to have children? So he says it's her. She can't have children. And she said, no, it's him. He's not able to have children.
This is the first marriage?
This is it doesn't make a difference which one, I guess. Let's see. Which marriage is this? Maybe the third marriage. Possible the third marriage? Because the first ones, they get a ksuva.
To say it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
This is
a marriage.
He's trying not to pay the ksuva.
Okay.
It's not the third one because the third one anyways he doesn't have to pay. I think the whole time is he doesn't want to pay.
But the third one, she's saying it's his issue. But we're saying it doesn't make a difference. Now you already established a chazaka. That's not such a taina. So the first two.
So
he says it's her. She says it's him. Great. So what do you do here? So I'm a Rabbi Yami. Dvarim shebeino leveina nemenes. Things that are between him and her, she's believed. Time am I. When we say Dvarim shebeino leveina, I think it's just a nice way of saying when it comes to Tashmish, this particular issue, we believe her over him. Why? Time am I. What's the basis and the reason for this? He kaimala b'yor kechetz, hu lo kaimala b'yor kechetz. We saw this in Gemara already in the past, that the only time that's able to have children is if the man is yor kechetz. The zera comes out yor kechetz. So only she knows how that works, but he doesn't. So she feels it, and he doesn't know what's going on. So therefore, she's a menace, and we trust her. That's his issue, not her issue. So he can't have a claim that it was her fault. So then the Gemara says, Amar Ihi, and by the way, just Rashi just says that last line, it's not bold, but the last two lines, Rashi says, Kol Shech Lazera She'enu Yor Kechet Enu Mizres. And if it's not Yor Kechet, then it's not able to have children. So Amar Ihu, so he says, Izel Intav Issa, Vivdik Nafshai, I'm going to marry a second wife, and I'll test myself out, see if it's me or it's you, and that's a great litmus test. If I'm able to have children with another wife, then clearly it's your issue. If I'm not able to have children with another wife, then it's my issue. So are we able to trust this litmus test? So I'm a Rabbi Ami Afbazu Yotze Vitein Ksuva. So even in this case, we first tell him to divorce his first wife and give her a Ksuba. Shani Omer, because I say, call Nosa Isha, Al Isho Yote Vitein Ksuba. Because I hold, sounds like a general issue, that you're not allowed to marry a second wife on top of a first wife. That's what it sounds like. And now we argue, other than Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom, we actually permit you, and that's the second opinion. But the first opinion says, first you must divorce your first wife, and then you're allowed to marry a second wife. So in essence, it's not really going to serve as a test, because now you're married to somebody else. But Rav Amar, no se adam kama nashim al isho, you're allowed to marry as many women as you want, v'hud ish le'mizinai ninhu, as long as you have the parnas, the money, to support all of them and their children to come, if there's zochot have children. So you're allowed to, according to the second opinion, according to Rava, you may marry a second wife and to test yourself out. So the Gemara explains, to Amar, Apalta, Bigo Eser. So let's say 10 years are up. They've been married for 10 years, and now they don't have children. So the Mishnah said, you're allowed to divorce her. So the question becomes now, he claims that she had a miscarriage a few years into the marriage. So we start counting a few years later. We still have 3 years left on her clock. The Yamal, and she says, "No, the police, I didn't have any miscarriages. 10 years is up now. 10 years since we got married. I never got pregnant. We have to get divorced now." So Amar Rabbi Ami, Af Bazu he nemanes. Here too, also she's believed. Why is she believed here? Gemara explains, "Dim Isa de Apila Nafsha Bakarta Lomachcha." So if it's true that she did have a miscarriage, she would not be machzik herself as a karta, as someone who's not able to have children. She'd rather be someone who had a miscarriage and then be called someone who's not able to have children and never get married again. So she wouldn't say this. It wasn't true. It must be that she really never had a miscarriage.
So she wants to get divorced now and go with her ksuba. Is that what she wants?
Right.
And he says, no, I'm not divorcing you yet. He has a chiyuv to divorce her? It seems from here that he has a chiyuv to divorce her after 10 years.
We said, the Mishnah told us,
just say, listen, you know what? It's okay, big deal, so I'm going to wait more.
Right, we said the Mishnah said that he has the option of either divorcing her or he's the option of marrying somebody else. Did we say that? Maybe we never force him. Wait a second. How can, right, it's a good question. How could she force him? Let's see, look at top Rashi for a second. Hu Amar Apalta Bnei Asar, Bigo Asar. He says that his wife had a miscarriage within the 10 years of our marriage. So the clock started again from the miscarriage. Kishanu Ban Lakofa Lhotzi. When we try to force him to divorce her, Hu Omer Hepilu Besoch Eser V'Adayin Ein Zman Lahotzi D'Tanan Mona Misha Shepilu. So it sounds like she's not forcing him to divorce her. She's not able to. Beis Din is coming into force. But wait a second, you can't just stay married to this woman. You have to be Mekayem the Mitzvah Peruvu. So then we start saying, wait a second. He's like, no, I still have a few years left in my contract. And he says, no, I never had a miscarriage. So that's the debate. I guess, but she's not claiming it because she can't enforce.
She cannot enforce.
Right. Now the Gemara says, "Hipila v'chazav, hipila v'chazav, hipila." She miscarries, and then she gets pregnant again, and another miscarriage, and again another miscarriage, 3 times. Huchzakel in the felim, she becomes having chazaka for miscarriage. She doesn't have the ability to hold on to her fetus. So Rashi says, in this case, huchzakel in the felim, v'yotzi v'iten ksuba. She gets divorced and she gets her ksuba. Shema lo zachel libanos mimena. Maybe he wasn't zocha to have children from her, so he has to marry somebody else. So Hu Amar Apila Trey, he says you had miscarried 2 times. Vi Amra Tlas, it was 3 times. So Machlokas again, he says we still have another chance. And she says, no, I already have a chazaka being Huchzakal and Falem. So what's the halacha in this debate? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, Uvda Hava Bemajasha. There was such a maisa once came forward to the base magic. And they said in the base magic, he mehemna, she is believed that it was only that it was 3 times. Dim isa d'loapla nafshi b'nifeila l'mechasaka. Had she not miscarried a 3rd time, she would not have created a chazaka for herself incorrectly, that she was a chazaka of nifeila. No woman would do that to herself. Just like above we said, a woman wouldn't establish herself to be nakara had it not been true, so too she won't establish herself to be a chazaka of nifeila if it wasn't true. Must be that it is true, and therefore she's believed. So in all these cases, it seems like she's believed over him in each of these 3 scenarios. In terms of Yorak Techeitz, she's believed. In terms of Nefelim, and in terms of Akara, she's believed in all cases. Now, it's not an issue of each one, I think, is different. It's not an issue of her just being more believed than him in general. It's just your kachetz physically, only she's able to know, not him. And when it comes to chuzaka akara, chuzaka nefelim, a woman just won't want to do that, to have her reputation ruined in that way, so therefore she's believed. Okay. Now the new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, in Amar Beis, ha'ish mitzuva al piru rivya, a man is obligated to perform the mitzvah puravu, aval lo ha'isha, but a woman is not obligated to perform the mitzvah puravu. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, al shneem hu omer, no, both of them are obligated in the mitzvah. The pasuk says, "Vayivarech osam elokim," and Hakadosh Baruch Hu blessed them. Ad Adam Chava, "Vayomer lehem elokim peru urvu," and Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "Go out and have children." This is by Adam Chava. So this is machlokas. We paskin that only men are chayim peruvu, not women. We'll see why in a moment. But there is a big discussion, the second parak of Kedushin, about a woman performing the mitzvah of Kedushin and sending a shliach, and there's a whole discussion what role she has in Kedushin and mitzvah peruvu. Kedushin, according to many Yishonim, is simply a hechatimsi, a hechsher to the ultimate mitzvah peruvu. Kedushin in itself is not necessarily a mitzvah, though according to some it is a mitzvah, but according to many Yishonim, it's simply a way to get to the mitzvah peruvu. So in that context, Yishonim have a debate, what role do women have? Do women have a partial mitzvah? Maybe they're betoras, they're not obligated, but there's a key mitzvah for them, like a suma. Suma is not chayv mitzvahs, but if he does a mitzvah, he's mekayim a mitzvah, ke'eino mitzvah v'yoseh, but there's a schar of kiyum, but there's no chiv. Some say there's a misayah, that she helps in supporting the mitzvah, but there's no real kiyum for her, she's just an assistant. Of course, one can have children without a woman. So there's a whole debate about what role she has. But very purely speaking, there is no mitzvah on a woman to have the mitzvah peruvu.
So there's three options.
Right. Well, we pass it. We don't pass it. Certainly not a mitzvah, full fledged mitzvah. We don't pass it like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But within the Tanakhama, where there's no mitzvah, it could either be that there's mamash no mitzvah, or it could be that she's misayeh in the mitzvah,
right,
or it could be she's not chai, but there's a kiyum. There might be others also. I don't remember all of them. But that's the discussion is found there in the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. So what's this basis of machlokas, whether a woman is chayv in the mitzvah peruvu or not chayv? So the Gemara explains in Menachem Mili. How do we know this? So Amar Rabbi Eli, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, this is also in Parshas Bereishis, Umelu es ha'aretz v'chavshua, and fill, populate the land, and conquer, take it over. Very strange, v'chavshua, what's chavshua doing there? Why does it say conquer? Ish darch l'chavesh, vein isha darch l'chavesh. The fact that we use the word chavshua, men are the warriors. Men are the ones who fight. They're the ones who conquer. So the juxtaposition of words, only men who are the warriors are the ones who are obligated in mulus aretz in populating the world. Women who are not, who do not go out and fight, they do not have the mitzvah peruvu. So Gemara says, Adarabba, Chavshua. Chavshua says, and they should conquer Osa, the world. They should. So it sounds like both men and women. So Gemara says that Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, V'chavsha ksiv. It's written as Chavsha, even though the Kri is v'chavshua, the ksiv is v'chavshua. It's written as one, the singular, only going on men. So, inching the discussion in the Achronim, we know, we saw in Gemara Chagiga and elsewhere, that avadim, an eved kanani is chayv mitzvah. So we saw this in Yivamos. Exactly, like Nashim. So, la, it says gzer shava, just it says la by eved kanani, it says la by an isha, any mitzvah a woman's chayvin, a eved is chayvin, any mitzvah a woman is pater, an eved is pater. So the question becomes, is there an obligation of an Eved Kanani in Peruvu? On one hand, you're going to say they're pater because women are pater, like the Gemara says. On the other hand, one might say they should be chai because it says v'chavshua, and darcha shel ish l'chvosh, and the Eved's a man, of course, so he has the nature to conquer, so maybe he should be chai.
It seems to me that the Eved belongs to the Baal, and his kids belong to the Baal, so his mitzvah is only to do what his owner wants, maybe.
But we don't find the patur in terms of his owner not able, allowing him to do it. The mice, if he's a man and he has the nature of him is to the chavshua, so perhaps he should be chayv. So any time there's a patur of a woman, that is because she's not. It's a different gender, an issue of gender, not a patur zman. Right. Patur zman, nothing to do with gender. Patur zman, so that you certainly give a patur to an evan. But if the patur becomes because of her gender that she's not able to conquer, or let's say there's no issue of a woman shaving her beard, so that's the machlokas. Like a woman's not chayav. There's no iser of a woman shaving her beard because it's not the derech of women to have beards. If they do have a beard, it's not considered normal. They're allowed to shave it. So do we say an eved is also pater in shaving their beard like a woman, or no? It's just a unique patur for women, but not to men. So it comes up here by peruvu as well. I think Mishnah Lamech discusses this maybe.
But the nature of an eved is not to be a conqueror; it's to be submissive.
It's true. So that could be an interesting counter. But as a man, as a creation, he's created as with that ability. Turns out he's owned by someone else and not able to carry out that nature that he has. So I wonder if they throw that out as one of the arguments. I don't remember that being one of them. But it might be whether inherently they have such an ability or lemaisa are they able to do it. So inherently, an eved does have the ability to conquer. Lemaisa is not able to because he's submissive to his master. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it recently, but I remember this being an interesting discussion. Then the Gemara says that Rav Yosef Amar Mahach. Rav Yosef brings another proof that men are chayv and not women. His proof is based on a pasuk that's found in is the end of Bereishis. This is by let's see the pasuk. Ani kelsha dekai par ove, pray ove.
That was not.
This was last week's parsha Vayishlach. Yeah. Was it right?
It was right before he had Binyamin.
Right. And then that's the Kagoyim. So he was going to have another nation, Binyamin. Okay, very good. So in that context, when Akash Baruch Hu is talking to Yaakov Avinu, it says, pray Ruveh.
I think it's this
parsha. The last week's parsha, I think, yeah. So, pray Ruveh, so he says in the singular, that you, Yaakov, should have children. Velo kamar pruvu. Doesn't say in the plural. So the fact that it says in the singular is going on the this week in Vayeshev? Yeah. Okay. Okay, either way, it's one of these two parshas we find ourselves in now, and the commandment is pray Ruveh, that in the singular that only Yaakov Avinu is obligated in the mitzvah, but doesn't mention his wife Rachel. So we see this is the source. So Tosfos asks a very interesting question. Tosfos writes v'lo kamar puruvu, a very small Tosfos, afagav de la adam harishon kamar puruvu. What do you mean? It says puruvu by adam harishon. And why don't we say there means for the both of them? And why don't we say that's what that's the raya of the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who thought what's the raya that there's an obligation for both man and woman because it says puruvu in the plural. So the answer tells us hahu bracha ba'alma of little mitzvah. That was only a bracha, it wasn't a mitzvah that you should have many children. You should be zochah to many children, which is a wonderful bracha, of course, for women as well, if not more for women, such a bracha to have. But that wasn't a tzivu. So Marsha asks. It also says Puruvu in Parshas Noach. By Bnei Noach, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Bnei Noach are also, even though it's not one of the Shiva mitzvah Bnei Noach, they also have a mitzvah Puruvu. It says Puruvu there. So, and that's B'lashon Tzivoy. So you can't explain that the pasuk Puruvu by Noach is a bracha because the Gemara clearly in Sanhedrin says that's a Tzivoy. So why not look to that pasuk as a source of they're both obligated in the mitzvah? So Marsha says only by Noach, because Noach were the only few people left in the world, and he had to populate the world. So he gave them particularly a tzivoy, those who came out of the table as a tzivoy, to procreate and to populate the world. That wasn't necessarily a tzivoy l'doros. So that's why that can't be used as a raya, even though it does say peruvu. At the same time, that's Tosu could have said the same thing by Adam Chava, of course. He could have said, it says Puruvu by the Mechava because that's the only way to, they had to command them to populate the world. Tosfos doesn't answer that way, but Marsha does suggest that. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yelai, Mishim Rabbi Yelazar, Rabbi Shimon, Kishem Shemitzvah al Adam Lomar, Davar Hanishma. Just like a person obligated to say something that he had heard. Rashi says, what does that mean? Lomar Davar Hanishma, Dichsev Hocheach Tochiach, Lochiach Mishim Mekabel Heimanu. That you're supposed to give tochacha, rebuke, to someone who is violating avera, something that you know is to be right, and someone's doing something wrong, you're supposed to tell him. Kach, so too, the Gemara says, mitzvah adam shlo lomar davar, shein nishma, he should not say something that he did not hear. So what does that refer to? Rashi doesn't tell us what that refers to. So, okay, you shouldn't say something that will not be heard. Not what you heard, but that won't be listened to. If a person won't listen to it, don't give him tochacha. So the Mefarshim all ask, it's true, if a person's not going to listen to you, you shouldn't give him tochacha. The Gemara in Erechin says the other way around. The Gemara in Erechin tells us that a person should give tochacha to a person, even if he won't listen. It's a very interesting discussion about tochacha. The big hakira, the Achronim point out, is tochacha din in telling the person to get him to do the right thing, in which case this Gemara makes a lot of sense. If he's going to listen, tell him. If he won't listen, why waste your words? Or is tochacha about defending the chefs of Shatorah? You have to defend Torah. You can't just sit there and watch the Torah be abused. So, out of defense for the Torah, you have to say what you're doing is incorrect. even if you know he's going to do it wrong and continue to do what he's doing, you are still, by stepping up and defending a Kadosh Baruch in the Torah, that itself is what Tochacha is about. There's a lot of nafkaminas. That seems to be the debate between the Gemara and Yivamos, that you're only supposed to say if it's listened to, it's about being listened to, and the Gemara in Erechin says it's about defending the Torah. Now, in the end of the day, there's still a stira in Gemara. How do we do with the stira? They're still saying two different things. So different, the answer given, the Ritva asks this question, answers as follows. He says, when it comes to giving someone tochacha in the context of a rabbim in the public, then you shouldn't say if he's not going to listen. It's pointless to make a whole public event if he's not going to listen. But you should still go ahead privately and tell him, pull him over to the side and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Even if he's not going to listen, you should still tell him. But rabbim, don't say it if he's not going to listen, but b'yachud, you should tell him even if he won't listen. The Shlach finds that to be somewhat difficult, and the Shlach says the difference is as follows. He says, if the person doesn't know what he's doing is wrong, completely clueless what he's doing is wrong, then you have to tell him what he's doing is wrong. You have to educate him. Even if he may not listen, you have to still educate him. But if the person knows what he's doing is wrong, then there's nothing for you to offer to him. At least there's a chance. The guy who doesn't know what he's doing wrong, you have a chance of educating him, and maybe he'll listen. The guy who's a Talmid Chacham, but still doing something wrong, there's no point in you telling him, because he knows what he's doing is wrong already. And a few other answers are given as well. But that's what the Shlach and the Ritva explain this idea. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba Amar Chova. It's an obligation to tell a person, not simply that it is a mitzvah to tell a person tochacha, it's not simply a mitzvah, it's a chov, it's a chiv of tochacha.
It says the Rish says that the raya is that it doesn't say hochiach, it's hochiach tochiach. So the word tochiach, mashmash yesh leochiach rak lemi shemekabel tochacha.
The double lashon is hochiach tochiach, hochacha to the one who's going to accept
right,
the hochacha.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's what the Rish says?
The Rish says.
It's not like the Rif to say something like that. It doesn't really say that much. So, Rabbi Abba Amar, it's not only a mitzvah, but it's even a chovah. There's an obligation to give tochacha. Shenemar, the pasuk says, there's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei, al tochach leitz penisnecha. Don't give rebuke, I guess, to a leitz, to someone who's a jokester, but lest he hate you. Hochach lechacham v'yehavecha. To give tochacha to someone who's a chacham, who will love you, will be very, very satisfied with you telling him what he's doing is wrong. So how does this prove that this is more of a chova as opposed to simply a mitzvah? Oh, this is a chova not to, he's a chiv, meaning more of an iser,
the
chiv to not tell, if,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
you're obligated to stay quiet when the person won't listen to you, lest he come to hate you. Aha. Then the Gemara says, very interesting. Then the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rabbi Ela, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mutul al Adam Lishanos B'davar Hashalom." Very, very fascinating Gemara. We want us to take this very carefully. Be very careful about this Gemara. Person is allowed to change the truth in order for the sake of Shalom, the purpose of Shalom Bayis. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Va'itzavel." Y'all read the whole pasuk on the side here. "Va'itzavel Yosef Lemor Avicha Tzival Afnei Moso Lemor." The brother said to Yosef, this is the end of his life, of course, is Parshish Vayechi, that before our father died, before Yaakov died, he commanded us, Ko samul Yosef, go say to Yosef, Ana sana pesha achecha, v'chatasam kira gemelucha, v'atasana lefesha le'evri avde lokei avicha, v'yayivki Yosef b'dabim e'ilav. They said, Yaakov told us to tell you that we're sorry for the sin that we did. And even though this apparently never happened, we never find anywhere that Yaakov advised them this way, they lied in order to shalom bias with the brothers in Yosef.
Interesting that you didn't say the pasuk that when Sarah says Vanizakati.
We're going to get there. Very good. Gemara's going to quote that.
Okay.
Very good. That's usually the main source.
Right.
That's the Kanim Torah talks about it there. So that's one source by the end of Parshas Vayechi. Another source, I would just keep going rather. So Rabbi Nasan Amar Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, not only is it mutter, there's a mitzvah to change what you say in order to preserve Shalom Bayis. Shinemar, this is a pasuk that's found in...
it's funny, this always, I had that question on me. Because how could Shmuel answer this to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu? When he tells him to go to tell David, and then this is what I'm talking about, go to tell David, he's going to be the king. And Shmuel says, wait a second, I'm going to be killed, Shaul's going to kill me.
Like if Hashem tells, and this is Shmuel.
Right.
It's funny because I never read the Gemara, but to me, when I learned it, it stays always on my mind.
Right. There's also the source of.
I guess in the Gemara also it called attention.
So but let's see. So how we view this as a raya. So again, what's a raya? Rabbi Nosson Omer mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to change the truth. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Shmuel, V'yomer Shmuel eich eilech v'shama Shaul v'hargini. How could I go tell David he's going to be the king when Shaul's still alive and he's going to find out he's going to kill me? So again, Ricky's pointing out this is fascinating. How could he challenge a Kadosh Baruch Hu's tzivur? This, by the way, is also the source that when there's an imminent danger, you cannot rely on nisim.
Right.
Even though we say a mitzvah, the holchei mitzvos eino nizokin, we say, but if it's a imminent danger, so then you're not going to be protected. Based on this source, Shmuel says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could you send me? This is a tremendous sakana for me to go, even though it's a shluach mitzvah. He's listening to Kadosh Baruch Hu." So how is this a riot, by the way, of changing the truth, though?
He's not Hashem telling him to take an egg and just tell Shaul that the people that he's going to make a korban, not to tell David.
Okay. So that's a riot. So you're allowed to change the truth, a lie, in order to...
Hashem is telling him
right.
to say that.
Right. And now we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. This is what you said. The next riot is the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Gadol Hashem, great is Shalom, Sha'ava Kadosh Baruch Hu Shina Ba Demeikara, because he changed it also. Demeikara, initially, when he spoke to Sarah about having children, Adoni Zakein, my husband's so old, how could it be? How could he have children? Uvasof, Ksiv Ani Zakanti. But the end it says, I am so old. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu goes back to Avram and says that Sarah's laughing, she was laughing because she was so old. She didn't say she was old, she said that you were old, Avram. Why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu tell him what she really said? Tell him that Avram, she thinks you're too old to have children. See, change the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied. So Das Kemal Torah has a very hard time with this. How could it be possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose chosim is Emes, he signs his name with Emes, he could actually lie? So one answer he says is that Enechanami, you're allowed to lie. Shalom Bayis is so great, you're allowed to lie. The second understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never lied. Sarah said they're both old. He said, I'm old and he's old. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told him one of the things, that Sarah said that she was old. He didn't finish a sentence. He wasn't lying. Sarah said that I'm too old and that my husband's too old. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Sarah said that she's too old. It's not a lie.
Meaning the question here is because it's from Hashem's mouth that he lied, and with Shmuel there's no question because he told Shmuel to lie?
No, it could be the same question by there also. It could be the same question. But I only saw Das Kanan.
The difference here, Hashem is changing.
Right. There he's advising.
Hashem is advising Shmuel what to say,
right.
Maybe.
So it could be there's a difference also.
Right.
But it's possible that Das Kanan would have the same question. I only saw Das Kanan in the Parsha there. I think they call the Das Kanan in the back here also. I don't know if they addressed the question by Shmuel though or not. You know, the Aruch HaNeir also has this problem. He says, I don't understand how is it possible midvar sheker tirchak. You have to distance yourself from sheker as much as possible. How is it possible that Kadosh Baruch Hu and anybody else can lie? He says, the only time you're allowed to do this is actually when a sentence or a certain context could be interpreted in two different ways.
But also, this is like a white lie, meaning that...
Right, that's what they're saying.
Not, you know, it's there's no change in anything. It just, you know, just to make.
You have to be very, very careful. Like once you start and you're allowing this, it's a very slippery slope. What else is allowed?
That's true, but on the other hand, right.
There's a quick mice before you go ahead. The Chavetz Chaim once, his daughter's running outside to go play, and he said, "Can you just help me clean up my svarim on my desk?" He said, "No, let me just go out and play. When I come back, I'll clean up 100 svarim." He said, "Okay." So she goes out and she plays. And she comes back into the office, into the study, and she gets piles and piles of svarim. She's like, well, how much did you learn? Right. You said you're going to clean 100 svarim. So I want to make sure you're speaking to MS. I made sure there are 100 svarim here, and you're going to put them all away. And Rav Neventhal, apparently, you know those books that have those black and white notebooks that have like 100 pages inside? So apparently, if he rips any out, he changes the number to like 99.
Oh, really?
No, like 98.
Just because of MS?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Think someone might pick it up and use it, thinking there's 100.
Possible. Right. That's how far
You should buy ones that have not numbered.
Right.
It'll save a lot of time.
Okay, so the Gemara, now the first Y line on Amud
Beis.
He's not choshed b'ksherim. Fine. The Gemara says now the first Y line, two dots. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka paskin that both man and woman are chayv to perform the mitzvah of peruvah. So how do we paskin? So itmar Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they had a machlokes between these two, Amarayim. Chad amar halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, one thought we do paskin like him. The chad amar ein halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the other felt that we didn't paskin like him. Tistayim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka thought that even women are chayv in the mitzvah of peruvah. Do we paskin like him that they are chayv or we don't paskin? So machlokes, how do we paskin? So Tistayim, let's conclude that the Rabbi Yochanan, who damer ein halacha, let's assume, and we'll prove in a second, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, that women are in fact not chayiv in the mitzvah puravu. How could we assume this? What's the Tistayim? What's the proof? The Yasa Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Abahu was sitting once, the Kamar Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan, he was quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan halacha, that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Broka. And to that, Hadrinu, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi Lapayu. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi both turned their faces in disgust that this is not Rabbi Yochanan said, you are incorrect. So the very fact that they turned away told us that Rabbi Yochanan did not paskin that way. Ikadami, there's another version of the story. The Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the different individual now, not Rabbi Abo, now it's Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Amar, he said the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Brocha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Hadrinu Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi Lapayu. And again, the same Tamidim, who are the same people sitting there, turned away their faces that it's not true. Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, never said this. So now the Gemara says, so what's the difference of these two Ikadamris? So Amar Rav Papa, Bishma Lamandamar Rabbi Bohu, the one who thought the version was Rabbi Bohu is the one who quoted Rabbi Yochanan incorrectly. Amra Mishim Kavod, Bekisar Lo Amrile, Vlomidim. Why Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi just turn away their faces? Why didn't they say, not true? He said the halacha is not like him. Why did they just turn away? Because since it was known Rabbi Abahu was very close to Malchus, out of respect for covered Malchus and the Bekas of Kesar, they didn't want to say anything. They just turned away and showing they disagreed, but they wouldn't say anything. Elaman Damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amro, if he was the author of this story, he was the one saying it. Limur Lei Lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. They should have clearly said that Rabbi Yochanan did not say this. He paskin against Rabbi Yochanan Mabroka. May have Allah. So what's the halacha? In the end of the day, what's halacha? How do we paskin, I guess, in terms of do we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Broker or do we not? So Toshma, the Gemara brings a raya. Damar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Asi, Uvda, Havet Kami Rabbi Yochanan, Beknisha de Kesari. There was a Maisa that presented itself to Rabbi Yochanan in the base Knesset of Kesaria. Vamar Yotzi, and he said, Yotzi Vitein Ksuva. And he said, go out and give her a get and give her Ksuva. Which Maisa was this? So Rashi tells the Uvda Hava. The ma'isa was v'hi tova asa lagarsha. She wanted to get divorced. L'fish lo hayula bottom. She didn't have children, and she wanted to have children. She thought maybe if she married somebody else, she would have other children. So Rabbi Yochanan paskin in that case, divorce your wife and give her a ksuva. Now v'isak daitech lo mifkuduk. If she's not commanded in the mitzvah puravu, ksuva may avidase. Why is there a mitzvah? Why does she get the ksuva? She doesn't have a good claim. If she has a claim that she has a mitzvah to do, so that's a good taina, let them get divorced and she deserves the ksuva. But if there is no mitzvah of puravu, how is she allowed to get the, why could he enforce this, the get here to have a divorce? What's the purpose? Gemara says, Dilma biba machmas taina. Maybe she was coming based on another claim. Another claim, I guess, right? That's what it's saying. What was the taina? She had a good taina. It wasn't because of Purvu. It was a different taina. What was the taina one could possibly have? Kiahi, like that story, the Asa Kame de Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami once had a similar maisa. A woman wanted to get a divorce. Amr Le, she said to Rabbi Ami, Havli Ksuba, give me my Ksuba. So Amr La, Rabbi Ami says, Zeal, go without a Ksuba. Lo mifakta, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah Purvu. If you want to get divorced, that means you're not going to the Ksuba. You have no right for the Ksuba. You have no good taina. Amr Le, but she says to Rabbi Ami, Miseva delay in my Miseva, into my old age, my Tevela dehach idisa. What's going to be with this woman here? I'm going to be too old and I'm not going to have any children to take care of me when I'm older. Amar kiha vade kafinan. Ah, that's a good taina. I understand where you're coming from. That's a good enough grounds to force a divorce and get ksuba. So maybe the woman in the case of Rabbi Yochanan was also a situation where she made such a taina that she wanted to have a child to take care of her when she was older and not because of puruvu. So there is no proof from the above ma'is of Rabbi Yochanan how to be passing by a woman's chiv of puruvu.
So that is considered a good taina that she's going to be without nobody to take care of.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a long tosos here, but we don't have time for this. Hahu, the Asa Kame, once another mice happened, the woman came forward to Rav Nachman this time. Amalash, he says, Rav Nachman says to her, Lo Mipakta, she wanted to get divorced, and he said, I'm sorry, you're just not mechayv the mitzvah, and we have no grounds to give you a divorce in a ksuva. Amalash, she says to him, Belo Bai Hachadisa, Chutud Lida, so I have no nothing to lie to lean on, Umar Lakfur, and no one to bury me. So the same type of claim that she wanted to have a child to take care of her when she was older. Amar kiha vade kafina. This is a very good reason to enforce upon a get. Now, Yehuda and Chizkiya, two Mahayu, they were twins. They were apparently the children of Rabbi Chiya, they were twins. Echad Nigmar Tirasul Sof Tisha, one of them was complete, as in utero, was complete after 9 months. Echad Nigmar Tirasul Tchias Shiva, and one was complete after 7 months. The Gemara talks about many times that there's a 7 month child and there's a 9 month child. Very similar to what we said in the Pnimius. There's a 7 month labor and there's a 9 month labor. So the 8 month labor, by the way, which is interesting, an 8 month baby would not have be considered Ben Kayama. They didn't think an 8 month baby could live. Right, but 7 is better than 8, which is just fascinating. 7 and 9. So one was 7, one was 9. So now Yehudis was the Devesa, the Rabbi Chiya, was the wife of Rabbi Chiya. Havalei Tsar Leida, she's going through some labor pains. Shanai Mana, she changed her clothing so their husband shouldn't recognize her. V'asa Lekame, Rabbi Chiya, so she went to Rabbi Chiya, who was her husband, but he didn't know it was his wife. Amar, and she says to him, Etisa Mipakta Purivya. Is a woman chayv the mitzvah puruvu? Amalah, he says they're low, not true. They're not chayv the mitzvah. Ozla ishtei samada akrasa. So she went and drank some type of potion so that she wouldn't be able to have children anymore. And lasof iglai milsa. In the end, it became apparent that it was his wife who asked the shayla. So she took this potion and she became an akara because she has such tarleda, she didn't want to have children anymore. So Amalah, so he says to his wife, Ika. Had I known you drank this potion, I would have stopped you. Regardlessly, chad the karsa achrisa. I would have wanted you to have another child for us, more children. Had I known it was you, damar mar Yehuda v'Chizkiya achay paze v'tave v'tave. That Yehuda and Chizkiya were the children of Bechia. They were twins. Upaze v'tave were his daughters. Achavze were the they had four quadruplets at one time. He had one. There's one birth, and they had four children. Lo mifkade. So what comes from this whole story is that. Fascinating idea, by the way. Okay, so before we get to Lo Mifkadeh, so this is just a fascinating story that sounds like a woman could take such a potion from the Gemara, some type of medication, to prevent her from having children. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, but halachically it becomes a lot more complicated, certainly. So then the Gemara asks, Lo Mifkadeh, is it true that women are really not chayiv, the mitzvah puravu? Is that really true? Even though we just saw that Rabbi Chiya Paskin, that women are not chayiv, is it really true? There's once a maisa with a particular woman. She happened to be a shifcha kananis, and chetz is shifcha of chetz bascharon. The kafes rabba vasa bascharon. She was half freed, half slave, meaning she had two owners, two masters. One master freed part of her, so she was partially free. So they forced the other partner to free her entirely now. So why? It must be in order to be allowed to marry someone to have children. So we see from this there's a raya that women are in fact are chayv in the mitzvah puruvu. So the Gemara answers, and to finish off the parak, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak minag hefker nhaguba. The only reason why they had freed her entirely is Rashi explains minag hefker nhaguba lefi shelo ha'isa yecholo linase, since she wasn't able to marry either Ben Chorin or an Eved Kanani because she was half and half, she was stuck. So Haisa Mafkaris Atzma, she became mafkir herself to all these men. The Chotimba, and there was tremendous averus going on. The Fikach. It's similar. The Gemara increases as there are three opinions of Shifcha Charufa. One of them, Shifcha Charufa, where she's designated to an Eved Ivri, according to one of the opinions we pass in like.
But right, but one of them is that that it's half, that it was no, isn't that one of the?
Is it? I don't think so. So for that reason, they forced her to be completely free, not because of the mitzvah peruvu, but in order that she should get married and not be considered hefkeris. Hadron lach haba yivamta. All right, shkoyach. Oh, we should do the review quickly?
No
time. Okay.